This is a production of Cornell University.
It's 4:45 and I'm going to start the meeting. We don't have microphones, so no side conversation. Perfect. Thank you. All right. So, Peter, whenever you're ready, you can call the roll. Thank you, Julia. What? 16th meeting minutes?
I'd also like to motion to amend the agenda and include Resolution 8 under business of the day.
Is there a second?
Second.
Can you state what resolution is?
Resolution 8 is requesting the restoration of the Economics Department's curricular practical training.
All right. Is there any dissent to adding that to business of the day?
Seeing no dissent, we'll add Resolution 8 under Resolution 32.
Point of information, would we be able to allow at least a projection of the original resolution during that time? It should be in the packet. Oh, it's in the packet? Thank you.
So everyone has a copy of the resolution. And Drew, maybe you should look around and get a copy or get anything that I can support the resolution 8 for the
wait, it's in the packet.
Oh, did we have packets?
Yeah.
Dale's going to make the last comment on this, and then we're going to move into the presentation.
Just anyone who wants to review this, who keeps good assembly records, you all have a copy of the SAFC documents in the appendices to Resolution 24. If you still have those, you can look over those.
You can also go online and find them. Just type in Cornell SAFC guidelines, and they'll literally pop up. First result.
All right, we're going to move back into the diversity presentation. All right, yeah, so I have a role in this, so I'm just going to, like, talk about the document, and then they're going to be here to answer questions you have and things like that. So I'm going to just give you guys, like, a recap of what the committee is. The Policy Research and Planning Committee is an ad hoc committee, like that right here. Basically what it does is it sort of looks at things that have been attempted to be passed through the committee or initiatives that people have taken up in the past that have not come to fruition completely yet. And you just kind of look at those policies and ways to implement them in the future and see if anything can happen. And so we worked on a report recently about the diversity requirements, about diversity training for faculty and diversity training for student organizations, and basically, we have this document put up into three different sections about each of those. So I'll just give you a quick explanation of each of these.
The goal is to have these diversity training for faculty.
second thing is in regards more to faculty training for diversity. I completely respect the sentiment. I completely agree with them. I just want to acknowledge kind of an efficiency that there's faculty who teach diversity courses and teach these types of programs that are required to do this training. So it's like, why is it, like, it's not efficient for faculty members to teach diversity classes to be mandated to do something every year or every few weeks because they do it every day. Thanks.
Can you talk into the microphone?
Yeah. To address the first question, yeah, that's a very good suggestion, and we're not going to look at that.
I'm going to restrict questions to a minute and have you guys answer after I break two speakers. It's really long.
Yeah, so two questions. One, can that report be made available to the student assembly members? Okay, and the other thing was actually more about the committee. Obviously, when the committee was charged, you said you were going to be working on multiple initiatives and sending us biweekly reports. Obviously, I don't think we've been getting biweekly reports from your committee, but do you know what other initiatives you're planning on working on or putting into your strategic plan before the end of the year?
Can we come back to one question?
Hannah?
Richard. Oh. Sorry.
Yeah, so I was just curious, when you said, like, sociology doesn't cover all things, it makes it seem like your program, like, diversity should be looked at breadth, and you look at 11 things, and I think a class, like, goes, like, once a week, and, like, learn what ageism is, like, doesn't do anything for everyone, and also a lot of people come in, like, knowing more than other people, so I think it'd be very helpful if classes that people already take, such as, like, let's say a government seminar that focuses on, like, Latino politics, and which is what you do, I feel like that should also satisfy the diversity requirement, and not just some, like, IDP, like, you know, very focused at people who haven't been exposed to questions of diversity. And also, secondly, maybe try to consider something other than, like, a Marist-centric view. A lot of classes focus on diversity and aren't necessarily very important for every student, especially international students, because they don't, like, they're not going to live in a society with, like, the same social issues. So I think something like the geographic breadth requirement in arts and sciences, like, might even do a better job than the diversity requirement. So just, like, look further into, like, what is already currently there and how to structure it so current classes can fit under this requirement. I'm not sure.
I'd like to motion to amend the agenda and extend this discussion by 5 minutes and move the calendar discussion to 5:15.
Second.
Is there any consent? Seeing no consent, we'll extend to 5:15.
Yeah, we're going to
I know that there's this sentiment about, like, faculty who teach diversity courses, but the fact of the matter is, like, what, like, I've had professors who teach things that are, like, quote-unquote, stuff that woke kids take, and, like, they, like, still don't understand certain intersections of things, or, like, I've had SGSS professors who are dead-ass, like, more racist than my science professors. So, like, I just, like, want to, like, see, like, what you guys think on, like, in terms of, like, the intersectionality of that stuff, and, like, how faculty will be trained, and, like, who is being trained, because I don't want there to be a perception that, like, ESO, sociology, FGSS, like, those disciplines don't have people who don't, who, like, I think everyone needs to go to school. Is that correct?
Yeah, so there's still no mic. Are planning on working through the individual colleges, how will you address the college?
Undergrad disagreed. They were kind of split.
first year for him?
Gonna wait until after.
Richard?
So that's absolutely true, and I think that based on our meeting 2 days ago, the talent that's coming up did a pretty good job of compromising the last 2 weeks. Our committee chart does have a little bit to bring out the best in our students, so our primary focus is student academics. There's going to be a little bit of a discussion coming up about ideas like senior days, internships, and other stuff, but in every scenario, we're trying to prioritize student academics without asking our faculty and staff to give up too much, and I think that that was shining through the system.
Alan?
Nani? I was just wondering,
can you use the microphone?
Total sample size is around 7,000 people. At least 2,000 of them are undergraduates, which I know is probably the most exciting thing for this group. The team that will be sent out is undergraduates, graduate staff, faculty, and did you work to send it out to alumni? We sent it out specifically to alumni that graduated 6 years out, so people that saw what the Cornell calendar was before we arrived and what's in that.
So, did we all
yes.
Yeah. And we shared it on that same page and encouraged them to get out. So that expires the speakers if you want to continue.
That's great timing. So this is our new calendar. I mean, there's not too much information live in the way a day ago to make sure that we'll be ready for you, but I will kind of step through it and talk about what the features of the calendar are. So when you fall in the spring and summer, which is different than what all the surveys are. Starting at the beginning of the academic year, we have kept the orientation movement day on a Friday, speaking with members of that group. Putting it on the weekend would require overtime costs to staff members, and putting it on any other day of the week would pose a challenge for people who are having to finally take off work to come graduate. Additionally, after looking at the past 3 years, it became apparent that Cornell's orientation became too short, and is also shorter than any Ivy Plus school. In the current orientation scenario, there's only 1 week day of orientation for students to be able to meet with faculty for academic advising. So the committee felt it was important to restore orientation to 1 day longer, which is the way it was in 2013. Going through there, we decided from the faculty comments and what worked well that a 5 day Thanksgiving break probably would not be feasible. Pedagogically speaking, it's a little bit much to ask to take 5 days off and then only come back for a week after school before jumping into the exam mode. We also, our co-chair, Becky Stoll, has kind of pointed this term students vote with their feet, and that students that feel very passionately about having 5 days off of Thanksgiving currently, in many cases, take that Monday and Tuesday off. We did feel very strongly in the community about having more than five days after Thanksgiving. Cornell is once again very much outside the envelope of peer institutions in doing that. So we were able to add 2 class days after most of our proposals had 9, I think the F1 and F2 had 9. The reason that we announced 7 class days after is that we're able to push a little bit into that winter break that a lot of people perceive as too long, chopping it down by a little, but we're not getting as close to the Christmas
exams going on and on and on, then it's really difficult for individuals to prepare for those. So one of the things that we ended up discussing regarding that was an alternating
motion by 30 seconds.
And
I think this is a question you want to answer. So whether or not we should have all the study days up front and then all the exams, or we should all
right.
Just adding to the discussion that we've had, the pros and cons of it. It does seem in general that most tier institutions use upfront method. One of the reasons for the upfront method is if you're someone that has all of your exams in the first 2 days, then you're not going to take advantage of those last 2 7 days. So we can't increase the number of study days. So going off your spring example, if I told you that you only get 2 study days before your first exam, and one of those days is slow day and the other is colloquially recovery day, then you're not going to be happy with that either. Currently, we also eliminated the sort of study days in the world. Besides that, it was just a day when everyone didn't have an exam. One of the things of that day, which reduced the conflict in their makeup. And we are going to alleviate that problem by releasing the exam schedule earlier and more time to plan conflict exams. So it was something we discussed, but the consensus seems to be that the study days on campus can be better. I would be open to discussing it with students. I'm really making it important. We have 4 study days on there. We did like 3 up front and 1 in the middle, but that's really a matter of a lot of time.
All right, we have a really long speakers list, so I'm going to be strict on keeping 1 minute for SA members to ask questions. I'm going to request that we don't extend, and then we'll come back to you as I'm covering you for 2 minutes. All right, next we have Alex.
Hey, Ben and Aki, thanks for coming.
Talking to
Mike. Yes, okay. So I have 2 concerns with this proposal. The first is with slow day being on a Saturday. With slow day being on a Saturday, I know slow day uses a lot of employees for slow day, and if it's on a Saturday, do they have to pay overtime to employees to support slow day, or will you need more student volunteers, or have you had a conversation with slow day about that? The second is about more senior days, because I attended an educational policy committee meeting where they suggested rather than extending senior days, that students go home for that period and then come back for graduation. And I hear that if a culture is developed like that, it'll develop inequality where students who live far away or may not be able to afford to go home will stay here, and then the students who can afford to go home will go home. So I do have concerns with that. I also want to make sure that for senior days, dining halls remain open, because I'm pretty sure they do not remain open currently. Thank you, and I wish Connor was here.
All right, next we have Dale.
I just want to remind everyone that this calendar would still not go into effect for multiple years from now. So these are discussions that we can have over the next 2 years for everyone who's returning to the Assembly. But my question was actually, have they given a firm commitment on the recognition of Indigenous Peoples Day for the February weekend, or are they going to forget about that?
Faculty Senate didn't pass the resolution, so that was one of the details questions we did. Didn't pass the resolution, we have not yet addressed to all the committees, so. The other comment we made, Dale, is that we plan to have a proposal, like an actual version of this that is final, for the Faculty Senate meeting this April 19th, that the provost would vote to in May to then take effect. So while this would not go into effect for a year or so academically, we won't be having this discussion yet.
No, I mean discussions about how to deal with the effects of this going into effect.
Yes, that's certainly true. For example, what Alex said, that is how people are going to send your days if they are extended this week. Alex, I'm going to try and hit all of your points. We did talk about the fact that students who can go home might go home, and both the pros and cons. We did see a lot of pros with that, and it seems to be the case at other institutions. I think it was Tribert, as an example, has 12 days between their last day of exams and their commencement. And then the bottom line with the senior day thing is we are not extending senior day because we want more senior day, but there was an academic reason that balanced constituencies need to have more
no microphone, just project.
Okay, just a question about your survey. I know I took a survey. It was a very long survey. I went back to giving up about halfway through because there's so many options. It's very confusing. Are you guys planning on sending out another, maybe shorter, more concise survey?
Yeah, I am.
So traditionally, we get artists
go left on the first speaker's list, and then I'm going to ask that we not go into the second speaker's list because we have a pretty extensive agenda beyond this. But next, we have Nick News.
My question is in regards to the winter break. I do not think it's feasible for all to have a break than just 1 week of classes and then go straight into study break. I would think it would be more ideal if we were to have 2 weeks of classes. Our break is already pretty large compared to other universities. As long as for me, like when I went home, all of my friends were going home a week earlier or 2 weeks later than that. So why are we not doing anything about the break? Why are we spending so long?
Yeah. We'll just have the second question and then you guys can answer. Our last question will be from Myra.
Gina, can Myra use the mic?
So my family is out as well. I have yet to double check whether or not I'm also currently open during senior days, but because West Campus dorms there, so I think we would have to implement something like one or two nights on campus if students were to stay for a week and a half to make this easy. I don't also think that any of us would be able to go with the occupancy recommendation period. With regards to the initial question, the point of clarification, you say winter break. So we looked at in the survey of having 2 weeks of classes after Thanksgiving, and it just doesn't seem to be feasible. The reason is the exams get too close to Christmas in some years, and students are not able to get home. We're also still, even with this calendar, more so with that one, figuring out how faculty will be able to get their grades on time. And in terms of the length of the Cornell break, this brings us much closer to sort of the norm within college in the United States. We were long, and we still have a little bit on the long side, but that is very much favored by our faculty, by many of our graduate students, as well as individuals in the free community and others who come back early. So we were unable to find any proposals that would have shorter winter breaks than this one, which would fly with some of the constituencies. So we actually spent a good hour at a meeting seeing where we could plus or minus 1 or 2 days both the fall and the spring to find a winter break that was satisfactory length as well as summer break that was satisfactory.
Thank you so much, Ben and Aki, for this presentation. All right, we're going to move into open break.
If any members of the community would like to speak at an open microphone, please come up to the table and state your name and year.
All right. So now we're going to finish announcements and reports. I'm going to ask that we be pretty efficient with our announcements and reports.
I yield to Rep. Iglesias.
Do I need the mic? Yeah. I wanted to make a quick announcement about Gannett Health Services. As of today, Gannett Health Services no longer exists, and they will officially be Cornell Health. If you have any questions, let me know, but Gannett Health Services is now officially Cornell Health.
wrong? And finally, we have an update from our director of elections.
Soul of Miranda Casher will curse all of you.
All those opposed? All those abstained? By a vote of 21-0.
vote passes. Thank you very much.
Motion to suspend the agenda and move Resolution 35 to this point in the agenda.
Is there any dissent? Is that dissent? All right. If there's no dissent, we'll move to Resolution 35.
You have 2 minutes, sorry.
So as you guys know, last semester, Appropriations Committee voted to withdraw our support to the research program and take over to the time directly. And you've probably seen those little newspaper boxes around campus. They've been at all the locations that we've designated them to be at, and it's been pretty solid. So as a result, we have allocation that was allocated to newspapers. So Alex had a point of information that I don't have an answer to. He said doesn't go into students helping students if we don't suspend it. Alright. Next we have Myra. Will you bring the mic back with you for Sarah?
Seeing no dissent, we'll move into voting. All those in favor of this resolution?
Right.
We're not voting yet.
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Motion to vote.
Second.
So all those in favor of this resolution? All those opposed? Matt, are you opposed? All right. All those who abstain? By a vote of 21-0, this passes. Thank you. Are you?
It's next.
I know. It's okay.
No,
you're good. Right.
We can put that.
So are you wishing to suspend the agenda to move Resolution 33 up front? Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Okay, are you still dissenting? Seeing no dissent, you can have 5 minutes.
So the subject of the conflict that are over the United States,
this survey be implemented by back in the year 2017-2018. fiscal year 18 or fiscal year 19, because fiscal year 18, I believe, would start June 1st or July 1st, so that would give them 2 months to do this. So I think we may want to give them a year and 2 months to do it in fiscal year 19.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, we'll move into discussion on the amendment.
Motion to vote.
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Dissent. Quick.
State your dissent.
Quick point. I just want to acknowledge that this would be giving the university 2 months to do this, or 3 months to do this.
Okay, so this isn't really dissent anymore, so we're going to, are you keeping your dissent?
No, I withdraw.
All right, so we're going to vote on this amendment. All those in favor of the amendment?
So I think this is great. I actually think you can go a step further with this.
So perhaps you can go recommend that we take Cornell itself and be sent back to the company that are within our own service watch.
Thank you guys for coming, but we need to table this or do something. All right, is there any dissent to tabling? Seeing no dissent to tabling, we'll continue this conversation. Is that tabling for 1 week time?
Sure.
Okay, so we'll table this for 1 week, and we'll move to Resolution 8. Even though Resolution 8 wasn't originally on your agenda, you do have a copy of the resolution. Any reason. It was like a one line in the
all of this on your two shoulders. It is a huge responsibility, and I want to say it shouldn't just be you by yourself. It should be all of us doing this with you and supporting you every step of the way, and none of us ever want you to feel as though you can't come and talk to us about this, and you should know that we will support you completely, or at least I do, and I know a lot of us do as well. I highly recommend that we should pass this resolution immediately to really show the university that we care. Last semester, they came here, they told us that it would happen. Clearly, it has not. If anything, it's made our fellow SA member feel horrible about his standing on this campus along with other international students, and that's absolutely not right. People come to this school for opportunities that they would not receive elsewhere, and I think this is incredibly unfair to a huge population on our campus, and I wouldn't want anybody to miss out on this particular thing. More importantly, I think rhetoric has always been this. Like, I'm ILR, obviously, a part of the labor union. A lot of people try to fragment into groups of people who would otherwise be able to come together and unify. I think this is what the administration has been trying to do multiple times, and it's not right. And I think this is one way in which the SA can tangibly say what its view on this is, and I think we should vote on it immediately, and we should support Aki any way that we can. And if he wants us to do something else as well, then I'd be happy to. So, Aki.
Thank you so much, Diana.
I am a registered student as well personally, and I'm a resident, so
content and had said, you know, this is what we'll do, and they've not kept up their end of the deal. So a big part of me wants to vote on this and vote yes, and then kind of be like, if you don't hold your word, we are going to vote on this, and you really screwed us over, and we're not going to stand by and watch you screw us some more. That's all.
Yeah, part of me loves that media compensation, but I'm also, like, I student here at Korea, and I can keep debating people, like, every day and ask them to do their work, and then being forced to meet with them when they are free, and they're, like, when their schedule is open up. Like, I think as a student, there are a lot of chance to learn and understand that we students have very few attitude, and that what they were doing. So I'm not even sure that the media communications department is for me that I would be able to do, just because one, I feel that I would be disrespected to such an extent that I would not be able to engage with them anymore in a respectful way of action. And the second reason is also that I really don't have the time and energy to go and keep repeating myself. So I think, yeah, I would be super interested and I would want to hear what they say.
And I think, yeah, next we have Julia.
So we understand your position with not wanting to vote, but the fact of the matter is, last time you promised them no vote, they pulled that shit and then, like nothing. Like, this is just frankly unacceptable. I think we need to appeal to higher powers at this point, and I'm honestly disgusted that someone walked in here into a room of students, a place of shared governance, and said that they would uphold a promise and did not do so. I think this calls for both voting on this resolution, but resistance from, like, all of us, like, for us to all be in solidarity with the international student community and actually to follow up. Like, I think we oftentimes vote on these resolutions and, you know, we let the executive board follow up, but I'm really calling for the entire body to continue to follow up.
Motion vote.
Is there any consent? Let's hear the consent. All right, so we'll go to the vote. All those in favor of closing discussion and vote?
Wait, you're not voting, or are you just saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
They just can't.
All those in favor?
Did everybody vote?
No.
No.
All right. All those in favor of closing discussion? All those in favor of voting? All right, all those who are allowed.
agenda that like pertains directly to like a specific.
Whatever is something on the agenda that pertains specifically to like a certain group of people or a particular individual, it's the media outreach job to let them know the conversation. This was added to the agenda. Alright. So is there a second on the motion?
Second.
Alright, so we'll go into discussion on the motion.
Motion approved by the
yeah. Second.
Is there any dissent?
I just want to add one thing.
Okay.
I withdraw the motion.
Sir. I think if we could possibly invite also like the Dean of Arts and Sciences or Dean Van Loo, if someone thinks that they are accountable to this, it might give us a little more leverage.
My question is like, this is like going to a question for Gabe, is like we can invite anybody, but like it's just an invitation, so I'm not sure why that needs to be approved by the assembly when we're going to just send an email or a tweet or Gabe or me.
To let them know that we're agreeing.
Okay, yeah, so just like formally request.
Yeah, formally request. Formally request that they come to our meeting and explain why they're doing this stuff.
And are you going to amend your motion to include these people or just somebody?
Yes, I'd like to amend the motion at hand to the essay formally request the presence of the chair of the economics department and the vice provost for international education. International affairs. I'm sure there's also one for international education.
I second the amendment.
Motion to vote by unanimous consent.
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Motion to vote on the motion now that we approve the amendment by unanimous consent.
Second.
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, I will work on contacting these people.
Wait, no.
Okay. Next is Sarah.
Yeah.
Are we discussing the what? Now we're discussing the resolution itself.
Okay.
I motion to table this resolution until next week, until such time as Gabe.
Second that dissent. Dissent.
Will you let me do your dissent?
Yes. So, my dissent is going to be my comment earlier. Tabling has clearly not been effective in the past. I'd like to take this to a vote.
Motion to vote.
Second.
There's a motion to table.
Like, motion to vote on tabling.
On the tabling. I
want to
vote on the tabling.
All right, so we're going to vote on whether or not we're going to table. All those in favor of tabling? No more side conversation.
Done into the people this and have to be fired.
I
All those opposed?
Did you miss us? We said yes. Oh, because Aki wanted to.
All those abstained? So by a vote of 14-2, we're going to table. I'm going to request that we move into executive session for 5 minutes because we have a vacant Sunday appropriation committee that needs to be filled. Is there any consent to moving into executive session? All right.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.